If you are a praying person, which I hope and pray that you are, you know the difficulties that are associated with prayer. The flesh hates for you to pray. And not only that, whenever we pray, our minds are so easily distracted while we are praying.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I don't know if there are no sinners in here like me, but there are times when I pray, and pray seriously, in about a minute or two, my prayer, I think to myself, I end up way over here. I wish I had some money. And it seems that this is the same issue Paul has, because when we read verse 1 in this chapter 3, Paul started to pray and then he got sidetracked and started spending the next 12 verses describing the mysteries of the church.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, we have to note that Paul was not distracted by his flesh. He was distracted by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because in verse 3 it says, now how that by revealing, he made known unto me the mysteries. So he was not distracted by flesh. He was distracted by the Holy Spirit. Because when you think about the mysteries of how God saved us, how God redeemed us, how God adopted us and made us part of his family, then we ought to be moved to go to God and pray. So let's look at verse 14, and we will see Paul's passion in his prayer. He says, For this cause. Now, in verse 1, he started praying, and then in verse 2 through 13, he started shouting about the mysteries of the church. And then he goes back to the prayer in verse 14, and he talks about for this cause, or for the reason, for this reason, or for the pleasure that I just got through saying to you, this is the passion in this prayer. Now, what Paul is referring to are the great truth that he wrote from the scriptures, from Ephesians chapter 1 all the way down to Ephesians chapter 3, down to verse 13. And in those verses, he talked about God's blessing with spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. God has made us followers of him. He also has made us fellow heirs along with the Jews in the body of Christ, the church. And that's something to shout about, beautiful. God chose us before the foundation of the world. That's something to shout about. God saved us when we were dead in trespasses and in sin. Church, that's something that you ought to be shouting about. God loves us. Despite our wickedness, that's something to shout about. God saved us by the grace and made us his children. That's something to shout about. And when we stop to consider everything that the Lord has done for us and how he's changed our life, it ought to be motivation for us to go to God in prayer. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 24 says, and it shall come to pass, but before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear.
All right.
John chapter the Lord. I need him to guide me. I need him to hold me while I'm on this Christian journey. While I'm trying to preach, while I'm trying to do his work, I need prayer to undergird me, because I can't do this work in my strength. You can't raise your children by yourself. I wish I had a witness in here. You can't walk this Christian race by yourself. You can't live in faith by yourself. You need the enabling Holy Spirit that only comes through prayer. Well, can I tell you, here's my secret. I'm going to give you a secret. And then you ain't got, don't tell nobody. When you start to pray and your mind begins to wander off, here's the secret. Start off. See, the first thing I do, I tell Satan, I'm going to tell him like that. You need me alone.
All right. I
plead the blood of Jesus on you right now. Start to pray without saying anything. You know what it is? And then you can pray without saying a word. Y'all ever done that? Just start praying in your spirit.
Yes.
Listen, when you get serious in your prayer life, Satan will attack you in the area of your faith. Y'all ain't just, I wish I had a prayer warrior in here this morning who could help me testify that you can't get strong in your prayer life in 2 weeks. You got to go through some stuff. It was nothing but your prayer that brought you through there. You wouldn't be as strong as you are right now unless you came through what went through. And it's only because of prayer. And listen, you ain't got to be on your knees all the time to pray. You can pray while you drive. You can even pray while some of y'all texting on them phones. What you want to come here for, but you can pray and you can pray for even while you're playing golf.
Come on.
And tell the Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for making a way out of nowhere. Thank you for raising me up from seeing beautiful sunshine. Not only is Paul passionate in his prayer, but let's look at Paul's posture in his prayer. Now, Mueller, there's a reason why Paul is on his knees.
Yeah.
Listen, bowing or being on your knees was not a common practice during Paul's day. If you ever watch TV on the news, you see the Jews in Jerusalem praying at the Wailing Wall.
Yeah.
They are standing, watch this, with their hands upward, wanting God to bless them. Watch it. While the standard practice for the Jews is standing here in this day, Paul is on his knees. And there's a reason why he's on his knees. You see, when you read scripture, Abraham prayed standing up. Daniel, he prayed on his knees. But Jesus, watch this.
Yeah.
Jesus prayed face down to the ground.
Yeah.
Build up the posture of your body when you're praying is not the most important thing there is. Yeah. But what God is looking for is the posture of your heart.
Come on.
He's interested in what's going on in your heart when you're praying. If you are serious, if you are sincere, when you pray, he already knows your heart.
Yeah.
But if you mean right when you are praying, God even know how to pray. And we don't know what to pray for. I wish I had a Bible. But the Holy Ghost is our intercessor. I wish I had a witness today. He will take the prayers that don't even make sense and say to God, here it is what they are trying to say. Is there anybody in here this morning? I said, is there anybody in here in Greater Beulah this morning who was so stressed out that you couldn't even get the words right in your prayer? But God heard and answered your prayer. Sound like nobody. You don't have to use no big word. I wish I had some help. You see, when Peter was walking on the water and started to sink, he didn't say, Lord, here I am on bending knee, bowed down and body. He ain't saying no stuff. He said, Lord, save me. And church, when you get in trouble, you don't have time for no long prayer. Lord, help me. God, have mercy on me. Lord, come and see about me. Now that's a prayer, and God will hear and answer that prayer. Am I right about it? Here's why Paul is bowed on his knees. Bowed on his knees, done in extreme humility. Extreme distress. Ezra, when he got ready to pray for the sins of the people, was so distressed that he bowed down on his knees. Daniel, when he heard that the king wrote that nobody was to pray, but to pray to nobody but himself, Daniel went down on his knees. Got down and prayed with his face torn toward Jerusalem. And he prayed in humility. Solomon, when he got ready to dedicate the temple, got down on his knees to give God thanks and praise. Paul, when he got ready to leave Ephesus, he got down on his knees with the pastors of those churches and prayed with them. Humility. Bowing is a sign of submission to a being far greater, watch this then, than you are. And every time I get on my knees, I'm submitting to God's lordship. I submit to God's authority, saying, I can't, but you can. I need somebody that only you can supply. I know who I am in my house. I know who I am on my job. I know who I am in the church. But I got to bow down because there's none greater than you are. It's a sign of emotion. It's a sign of extreme humility. And when your trouble comes, and your trouble will come, and a good place to be when it does come is down on your knees. Father, I stretch my hand to be God. If I know, I can't do it by myself. I need somebody in here to help me testify that when your back is against the wall, God came and he rescued you. It didn't happen because you graduated from Southern University. It didn't happen because you got a degree from Grambling State University. You got down on your knees and admitted that I can't make it by myself. God will show up. You're looking at somebody who's had some experience with spiritual warfare. I said some experience. I ain't saying no stuff that I heard. I was fighting my calling. God allowed Satan to tap my body. to have heart surgery at that particular time. Didn't have a heart attack. But he called me to block all my good stuff. And it was so serious that I needed to have heart surgery. And while I was laying there in the hospital, Satan, I know it was him because it was nobody but him said, I told you.
All right, thank you.
He didn't care because if he did care, he wouldn't have allowed me to attack your body like I did. The church, when you're lying there and you can't move, you begin to think about giving in to all of those sins. And he almost convinced me that God has been unfaithful. But I began to pray and appropriate all of the promises that God left me in Scripture. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. No, I am with you. All the hell, I got a witness in here. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And when your back is up against the wall, if you pray and pray right, of whom